One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Yo, thanks for coming back to the show. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, Dave Callens.
What's up?
And Robert Timothy on the soundboard.
Woo! How you doing?
Bobby, I, as you know, lived in this area where you live many
college
years before
area.
You.
Right.
The hobos, more ballsy than I remember. I was pulling off the freeway to turn onto, what was it, Montezuma. And right there, first of all, I'm not usually a guy that gives money to the... to the hobos on the street corner, not because I'm like one of those, they're just going to use it for drugs and alcohol. That's what I'm using it for. I'm fine with that.
You're pretty hypocritical. Yeah.
And I'm also not one of those dudes going like, I heard a story where they followed one. She went back to a Mercedes because no. Yeah. But you know, my whole thing is like, all right, I give to mental illness. I won't give to meth head. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Like, I don't care what they're using it for.
Okay.
But that's just, that, but this guy... One leg, and by the way, not in a wheelchair. There's no way he's just talking. He's on crutches, very clearly one leg.
Uh-huh.
This guy, I'm like, dude, this guy deserves all the meth. I don't care how it happened. This guy, I hope he buys meth with this dollar.
Hey, he sold his leg for meth. He really needs it.
Fine. Hey, he needs a buck, man.
You made a lot of assumptions. What if he lost it like goose-stepping in a white nationalist party?
$2.
Yeah, okay,
$2.
Fair enough. I'm gonna say maybe he lost it, maybe he deserved to lose it.
Hey, but right near him, and this is where I say they're getting ballsier. Clearly, meth head woman in a semi-fashionable outfit, just like right next to him, asking, you know, like on the opposite corner. I'm like, really? You really think that you're getting something when you got this guy you're competing with?
I don't know. Maybe she gets more. I mean, like, it would be interesting to do a survey and see, like, if you're a semi-attractive young lady, do you get more even if there's a very destitute person?
No, she wasn't. She wasn't semi-attractive. Semi-fashionable outfits,
yeah,
but gross.
Gotcha.
Hence the meth head thing.
Yeah, there's not usually a lot of, like, super hot homeless chicks, because I feel like,
no.
Like, super hot homeless chick is just what standard of guy whose pad do you want to crash at? Yeah.
A hot chick, a hot homeless chick is just a chick after college. Yeah. They do fine.
Yeah.
They do fine.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, I just did a road gig. It was in Seattle. I don't want to say where or who was affected by this because I loved the venue I played for. I had a great time. And I really liked this other comic that came to feature for me. It's not going to be too hard to dig and find out who this is, but I don't want to volunteer. Let's put it that way.
It was Dave.
I'm saying this not to make fun of anyone, but more of a cautionary tale, because I know that a lot of all the people that listen to this show, some of them are new comics and comics that may not have had the chance to go on the road yet. So I do want to throw this story out there just as a word to the wise, okay? Number one, I want to preface the story with this. When you're doing gigs and you're performing, the less alcohol and drugs, the better,
yes.
All right? And since I'm 16 years old, I've run into people constantly that say, oh, I play guitar better when I'm right. High, or no, I'm funnier than I'm drunk. I've heard that countless times, and not one person that agrees with them.
Right, you're funnier in the sense that we will all have more fun laughing at you, but you're not running a comedy show very well.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. I would consider myself an outlier. I am looser when I've had a drink. I'm a little more comfortable.
That's not
sure,
drunk,
I'm a little
though.
Looser.
No. That's what I'm talking about too. That may be.
I agree with you that most comics don't have that. I don't know if it's self control or responsibility, or whatever. Just one.
Right.
Like,
right.
That is it.
And you know what? I have not gotten drunk or high or anything like that before I went on stage in the 8 of the 9 years I've done stand up. I used to do a little bit when I was naive and realized how bad it looks on you when you're up there and they can tell you're slurring.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But I've not allowed myself more than 2 or 3 beers, no hard liquor. No drugs of any kind beforehand. And even then, I'm like, okay, that's perfect. That gets me looser. But and then the one time I was late to get to a show. They're like, you're up right now. I ran to the club. Didn't have time for my 1 or 2 beers. Went up there. Sharpest I've ever been. I went, oh, 0's the number. 0's the number we're looking for.
Right.
Now, let me tell you this. If you're just playing your local club or like a dive bar in East County where no one's going to give a shit and there's no stakes or nothing on the line, fine, go ahead and have some Coors Lights, whatever. But if
road
you are...
gig is a different animal.
Yes.
Absolutely.
If you are getting paid well to do a job, let me... If you're doing like a legit road gig like I was doing, like I've been doing this these past years, between airfare, hotel, what you're getting paid, meals, ground transportation, you're looking at like $1,000 when it's all said and done for like 30 minutes to an hour of your time.
Right. And there's an element of respect when you're doing that, not only to the venue, but to the audience of like, listen, you all came out, you paid money to be here. I didn't. You paid money to see me. I am supposed to have something of value to say to you.
Yes.
And yet I didn't value it enough to not show up shithoused.
Yeah.
I think more than that, it's also a reflection. When you're on a road gig, someone booked you, probably someone you don't know very well because you're just starting out. Someone has hooked you up and made a connection. You are a reflection of that person.
Absolutely.
That's the most important thing. When you're at your local club, at a dive bar, whatever, nobody gives a shit. Yeah. But when you're out on a road gig, you are a representative of that booker.
Yes, yes, you are. And, you know, I mean, there's just 1,000 things wrong with it. And most people that make hundreds of dollars for a half an hour of work either have the word doctor before their name or Esquire after it. You are an outlier.
Or escort after it.
Yes, yes. You're also blowing rich dudes. Yeah. That could also happen.
I'm going to change my stage name to Dr. Esquire.
Yeah. Escort?
Dr. Duke Sandwich Esquire. I like it. You are an outlier where you don't have to wear a white lab coat or a suit and still get to make hundreds of dollars within a half an hour and you don't have to blow anybody. Anyway, so.
No, you don't have to.
You don't have to.
Depends how much you want laughs.
Yeah. And I'll say this before, this is the last thing before I go into the story is if comedy is still a big party in your mind and not work, you might still be an amateur. So anyways.
You might still be an amateur if.
Bobby piped out. You're who I'm talking about. Anyway, so, this particular road gig, we get picked up by the promoter at the airport and alcohol, as far as he was concerned, was not an option. One of the rules... And when you do these road gigs, there are rules. If the promoter hasn't given you rules, you should ask for them. Be like, what kind of language should I use?
Right.
What is my dress code?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, all that shit. If they don't offer it, because sometimes they forget to offer it, which I think is weird. Fucking promoters in like these like road cities are like, well, the last guy, it was a huge disaster, but I'm not going to give the next guy the rules either. Let's see how that goes. But I asked before. I'm like, all right, language. If I let an F-bomb slip out, am I banned for life, you know? Or, you know, so anyways... We're on the way to the venue. It's an hour and a half drive from the airport to the venue. And this guy's going through it very clearly. He's like, all right, well, cleaner the better, obviously. But, you know, if you let some harsh language slip out, it's not the end of the world. I don't want any gross humor, no political humor of any kind.
That, to me, that's the hardest part sometimes because a lot of those road gigs or clean gigs are like that. They're like, the curse words, one or two, okay. But the content.
Yeah.
And that's a lot harder to steer clear of.
Yeah.
So, that's like whole ranges of jokes.
For me, it's okay because I don't go political. And that's usually the number one thing that road gigs say. Do not even touch with a 10-foot pole. No, nothing about guns or politics or religion. And don't shit on the club. That's usually the main ones, right? And this one was no different. But this guy, very clearly, and I wasn't planning on... When I do road gigs, I don't even have my two beers beforehand. I have zero until I'm done. I drink soda water with lemon the entire day. I wasn't planning on having anything, but he's like, by the way, guys, zero alcohol before your gigs. I don't care if you're inside of me or not. No alcohol, and absolutely no alcohol on the stage. All right, so he says those. So I'm like, yeah, no, I wouldn't plan it on, man. So anyway, we get to the hotel... where we were also playing. It was a casino. And we check into our rooms. I go down. I kind of like walk around. I have a ritual in these road gigs where I take brochures, like I've told you, Dave.
Yep.
Read up about the town. I walk around, ask like the front desk and like maybe some employees like, hey, what do people do around here? You know, what's something I can kind of joke about tonight that people get a big kick out of? So I do that. I write down my set list. I go for a swim. I go to lunch. And there is... The person that is featuring for me, she's there with her boyfriend who she brought, and they, with lunch, are having two beers each. There's two pints in front of each of them and two tequila shots. It's 2 or 3 in the afternoon. So already I'm like,
plenty of time for that alcohol to digest.
Oh, no. And that's another thing. Like, she flew her boyfriend in with her. I'm like, already you're cutting into profits, so I see this isn't really work for you. But whatever, fine. You know, I wish I could bring my wife. So anyway, I joined them for lunch. They're like, yeah, you know, we're just hanging out. This is going to be great, man. And she's like, yeah, this is like my first road gig ever. I'm like,
Oh my God.
Oh, man. She's like, dude, I've always wanted a tour, man. Being on tour is a party. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Can I just interject with a question real quick?
Sure, sure, sure.
This happened to be an attractive female comedian.
Very.
Yes. Okay, this explains why.
So,
keep going.
Yeah, she's like a mixed race, you know.
Exotic looking.
Yeah.
Because this speaks to an entitlement of, I just need to be here. My presence is enough, whether I'm shithoused or not, as opposed to, oh, I better do a good job.
Now, that
I'm
could
here.
Be. Now, we were both sent out by our agency. Her and I share an agent. I've never met her before this time, but our agent sent us both out to this and felt we'd work well together. Now, just
sidebar real quick. A lot of people think that being a touring comic is a party.
Yes.
Like the general public, they think, oh yeah, you're just going to different cities, party, meeting people. If you talk to road comics, it is a fucking grind.
It is. And it's boring and lonely and you can't do shit beforehand because A, you don't want to cut into your profits. You're there to make money. You can't drink. You don't want to exhaust yourself. Like you can't even go on a hike if it's too strenuous because fucking you could wear yourself out. But anyways, so yeah, you're just staring at a lot of hotel walls. But anyways, so she's having a blast. I'm like, I assume when they sent her out to feature for me, all right, you know, when did I hit the road? I'm like, I was like year four when I started really getting out there like we are here. I was like year five. I'm like, how long have you been doing this? She's like, 2.5 years. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, so.
Well, then you get into that. It's kind of like what I was saying before. You know, you get into one of those scenarios where mom or dad bought you the car so you don't maintain it. Like, you don't worry about oil changes because you weren't the one who had to work to, you know, get the money to do it. If you're 2.5 years in, you're not taking things seriously, and somebody hands you road gigs, of course you're not going to take it seriously. You haven't put the work in to make it valuable to you.
Yeah. So during the course of this lunch, they've reordered the drinks a couple times. And they're both very nice people. That's why I didn't want to name them because I genuinely liked having lunch with them and talking with them. But at the same time, I saw all these mistakes, and I even went out of my way to be like, guys, you probably shouldn't. You know, I wouldn't start drinking this early if anything. Maybe just hit the room and have a nap before the show, something. Anyway, all that advice went out the window. So anyway, it's showtime. I'm doing 45 minutes as the headliner. She's doing 30 as my feature. Right. Maybe 25. So we get there. We're supposed to be there.
Time out. I'm sorry, not to interrupt. That, again, is another huge red flag. 2.5 years in.
Yeah.
And you're counting her for 25 right. fucking minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I started doing the math. I'm like, 3 years in, I had a solid 15.
Right. Yeah.
And then and after that, I was like a deer in headlights, like grabbing for material I discarded during my first six months just to pad the bill. So anyways, I'm like, well, I guess she's a huge talent. I was really telling myself these stupid fucking things to convince myself that everything would be fucking fine. So anyways, I show up, I meet the promoter. This guy is by the book too. He's like, I need everyone there at 5:55 for a 6 o'clock sound check for a 7 o'clock show. You know, I'm like, all right, sound check and everything. This guy's pro. She shows up late to the sound check. And it's clear the drinking did not stop since lunch, which is at 2. It is now 6. And she's, I wouldn't say sloshed, but tipsy.
Noticeable.
Noticeable.
Here's what's crazy to me. This is work. Like, this is your job.
Job.
You are going to
a job.
But
again, that speaks to the mentality. She doesn't view it as a job. It's a party to her.
Even then, let's take it at the worst case scenario that she's going, this isn't a job, this is a party. Even then, you don't want to show up to the party already shithoused. Like, if you want to go have fun at a party with your friends, you don't want to show up blacked out already.
Yes, it's the journey, not the destination. Yeah. Yes. So anyways, already I'm like, ooh. Now, opening the show, this guy, I guess, runs a comedy class in Seattle, and the winners of that year, like the rookies of the year, you know, their prize was getting a 5-minute spot each at this like big casino show,
right.
You know, and they're nervous as shit. This is their first real show. And, you know, these were some nice kids. They were talking to me and asking me questions, and they're like, yeah, so what do you, you know, like, I'm like, yeah, so I was chatting with them. It was really fun. And then, like, you know, the feature comes in sloshed, and I have to be like, I don't want to talk shit on my label mate here, but don't do that whenever you start hitting the road.
So when she showed up drunk for soundcheck. Did the promoter say anything?
He noticed, but I mean, what can you really say at that point?
Sober up.
And we're out in the middle of, you know, like a resort town at a casino resort. You know, you can't just like run to the local comedy club and pull a guy to replace her. You need to fill 90 minutes of comedy per your contract with this casino. You can't just cut her from the show.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm already doing 45 minutes. I don't have an extra 30 to give.
Yeah.
Earlier in the day, we found out her boyfriend is also a comic. And again, a nice guy, Marine. I offered him 10 of my minutes. I'm like, hey, you're out here with your girlfriend. You're a comic, too. It'd be probably cool of you to play CL. I'm like, I'm keeping 100% of my pay, just to let you know. But if you want 10 of my minutes, I'll give them to you. And he was psyched about that. So anyways.
So what are you going to schedule it? So he's opening or something?
No, I was those two rookies. Then he goes up. Then the feature. Then me.
Okay.
So anyways, the rookies go up. They were, you know, rookies. Then this guy, dude comes up. This guy can't remember one of his fucking jokes.
You mean he can't remember any of them or one of them he stumbles on?
He can't remember any of them all the way through. He's like, yeah, I just got, I was in the Marines, then I wasn't, and where was I going with that?
That's the worst is when they ask a question to the audience that they should know the answer.
Right.
Where was I going? We don't know. Literally, there's one person in this room who knows this, and it's not us.
Now, I feel bad because on the way up, I'm the one that suggested, like, hey, this guy came all the way out here, you know, let me give him 10 of my minutes, and now he's fucking up the show, so I feel bad.
Oh, yeah.
I feel bad, but at the same time, like, I didn't say I vouched for the guy. So anyways, he's up there, and all of a sudden, the promoter realizes dude brought a beer up with him. So he starts freaking out. He's like, he's got a fucking beer up there. He's got a beer up there. I'm like, dude, calm down. And he's like, listen, I'm not being uptight. It's Washington state law. You can't have alcohol on stage. The Foo Fighters can't have fucking beer on stage in this fucking state, or else they get fined. If anyone sees that, this casino can lose their liquor license. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, all right. It's a dark beer. It's like a Newcastle, right? I'm like, the guy, we could always say he brought a soda up there. We'll just say it was root beer or something. They have no proof of that. He's like, okay. I guess that's okay. As I'm saying that, the dude at the mic takes a sip of his beer. It dribbles down his chin. He goes, fuck, I got beer on me. I'm like, oh, that's out the window.
Bobby, I love that this could easily turn into Ryan being the bad guy of the show.
Yeah.
Like, okay. He gave this guy 10
that's
minutes.
That's right.
The guy brought a beer up. It's
if you have to go back Pulp Fiction style to watch the promoter walking by while they were having lunch and seeing them all together, like drinking, and he's like, why would Ryan, an experienced comedian, allow them to get drunk right now?
Yeah. So anyways, she goes up, and by this time she's sloshed. And now, first of all, he also said, keep it clean. First joke, I got my period and bled all over the sheets upstairs on your blankets. Joke two, my daddy fucked me. Joke three, just kidding. My daddy didn't fuck me, but I'd fuck my kids though. Here's why. Number four, forgot her joke and then got off the stage after 12 minutes
wow.
of a 30-minute fucking spot.
Hey, she's just paying it back to you. You gave her boyfriend time. She's giving you some time.
Yeah, lots of it.
There is this thing where you're supposed to do 25 minutes. You've been bombing the whole time, and you cut out at 22.5, right?
Yeah.
And that is still a little bit of a faux pas, but people will be like, I understand that you weren't going anywhere. We're good enough. We can scramble. But cutting it to 12 minutes is crazy. That's an opener set. That's not even a feature set at that point.
Right.
So she gets off after 12 minutes. The guy flips again, and I'm all that's left.
Yeah.
I'm Wild Thing Vaughn walking out of the bullpen in my suit. And I'm like, oh, God. So since I gave the guy 10 minutes and I went to my hotel and wrote out and planned my set, I had planned it for exactly 35, but I'm like, all right, I can't rework it within the 5 seconds I have to fucking think about this. So I could probably pad it back up to 40 minutes, which I did. Now, luckily for me, I was not drunk, and I had been rehearsing all day, and I had a great set. I got four applause breaks. It was fantastic. Nice. I'm like, okay, I may have saved this a little bit, you know? Afterwards, I got to meet a lot of the audience there. It was good. The promoter seemed happy, until the next day when, by the way, she just decided, I forgot the piece de resistance of her set when she drunkenly announced after she'd stood there for a full 30 seconds without saying anything and announced, wow, just like
that's
your boyfriend.
So long on stage,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, announced just like your boyfriend, I forgot where I was going with this. And then Stott went, I can feel you people staring at me. And she went, fuck it. I don't care. This is a vacation to me. Actual words. The promoter turns to me and just looks at death stares like I told her to say it. So anyways, as part of her vacation the next day.
Ryan crosses out. He has a set written out. He crosses out this thing at the bottom. Just a vacation. Yeah. All right. That one's not flying with this crowd.
As part of her vacation, she decided to not go home the next day. Her and her boyfriend continued to party in Seattle. Okay. So I had to drive back to the airport with the promoter alone, who was furious.
Oh,
yeah. He decided to, because of her, ban all further comics with my agency.
Wow.
Nice.
So that was one thing. And the casino asked for the money back that they paid him to do the show.
Wow. You know what's even better, too, is when this gets reported, it's not reported that, hey, we had an issue with this comic from this one agency, so we're not going to hire them. It's, hey, that show with Ryan Shores and that other girl, it was a disaster. Don't hire anyone from that agency.
No, that's what he said. He's like, listen, I'm very happy with how you did. Let me get your card. I want to book you directly outside of your agency. Well, I need to check the contract on that one. But
it might be illegal.
But as far as this casino is concerned, you might be done. I'm like, dude, I had a great say. He's like, you had a great, but they associate you with her.
Yeah.
And that's going to tarnish you here. I'm like, that's not so fucking unfair.
Bobby, silver lining here.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's a casino up in the Pacific Northwest that needs a new source of comics.
Ooh.
What do you say we hit him up?
Washington Kumite!
No, but I got on the line with my agent as soon as I got there. I was only able to find my agent. The owner of this agency is in Egypt. Fucking, he has no way of contacting these people to make amends. So I'm like, somebody needs to reach out to this fucking guy. So anyway, that was that.
Not knowing this girl, it's easy for me to think this way, but like, I really hope she gets knocked down several pegs. Like, that agency doesn't even recommend her for shows, shit like that.
Well, I don't know how they can now. Yeah. I mean,
one would think they would have to drop her. Yeah, one would think that.
She might get dropped.
If I had met her, I'd probably have, oh shit, I wouldn't want anything bad to happen to her. She's a nice girl, but fucking looking at this objectively, I'm like, fuck that chick, dude.
I don't see a scenario where she doesn't get dropped. I mean, but just because you can't have that kind of liability. If you send someone to, admittedly, their first road gig, and all of a sudden, with how bad they shit the bed, someone said, we are never allowing your agency to book with this lucrative casino ever again. How do you keep that person as a client? I don't see that happening.
It could happen. It could easily happen.
But, you know, maybe she's a great actress. I don't know. She may also do that. Anyways, by the way, guys, Seattle Airport, I didn't tell you this, the safety announcements are done over the PA, pre-recorded, by none other than Seattle native and former Guns N' Roses bass player Duff McKagan. Which
really?
Was a little weird.
Does he announce himself like, hello, I'm Duff?
I can pick up the voice. I was just in the cafeteria eating lunch before getting the ride. It's like, hey guys, this is Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses saying only ticketed passengers allowed to pass the security checkpoint. I'm like,
that's so weird.
Okay.
It's pre-recorded. He's in a back room somewhere every 15 minutes. Hey, Duff, you're on. Come on, quick.
He puts out his cigarette. Well, I thought so there's a part of me.
Duff, no booze on the mic. It's illegal.
Part of me thought that all the announcements were done by 80s, aging rockers then. I was waiting for Axl Rose to be like, the White Zone is for loading of passengers. Oh, la, 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 la.
Yeah, that's a weird choice. I feel like you have other people, especially in that area. Like, you know who's a native up there is Patrick Stewart. Patrick Stewart would be great to tell you what to do and not to do.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because every nerd on Earth views Patrick Stewart as their boss for two reasons. Because either you love Jean-Luc Picard or Professor X. But either way, you're going to do whatever the fuck Patrick Stewart tells you.
I agree with you. That sultry voice.
British.
That's why he's in every commercial now. I don't even like Strongbow Cider. I buy it because he tells me to.
Yeah,
I know.
Whatever you say, Patrick, we won't bring bags with lithium batteries in it. Whatever you tell us to do.
I'm sorry. I can't stop thinking of different aging rockers I'd want to hear do the announcements at the airport. Hey guys, this is Vince Neil from Motley Crue. I killed a man with a car in the 80s, but I would never leave my bag unattended in the terminal. No, you know who should do it? David Lee Roth, dude. Oh, that guy would have the best fucking announcement. That guy's a lunatic. That guy lost his mind in the 81 and has, hey, this is Diamond Dave. What's up, all you window wipers and pod pipers? Hey, just telling you right now that fiddle and skip tampering and skip it and skip tampering with the smoke detectors is a federal offense. Skip it up, baba doobow. No smoking. Hey, mercy. That reminds me, Jack. You ever seen a terrier dog? They're fun when they gotta be fun. They're fierce when they gotta be fierce. But oh, when that door's open, they just got to run away. Skip it up, baba doobow.
And then they have him go against Ted Nugent. And they both just compete to see who can make the most compliance.
Ted Nugent? Hey, guys, this is Ted Nugent. Just telling you, if you don't speak English, get the fuck out of my country. Airplane's right over there.
Also, if those TSA officials tell you not to bring your gun on the plane, fucking shoot them.
Dude, Gene Simmons, because he would turn it into a commercial for his merch somehow.
Guys, let me tell you something right now. This is Gene Simmons from KISS. I want you right now to go to kissonline.com, and you're going to get your official KISS airplane. It doubles as a cooler until you're ready to use it. It's only $1 million. Kissonline.com. Thank you.
Ryan, while you were off in Alaska, you missed out on what is, to me, one of the most interesting true crime stories of the last few decades.
Are you saying they don't get news up there?
Yeah. I mean, apparently you don't get phone calls out of Egypt, so I don't know what's going on in the rest of the world. But regardless, a true crime story that I have been intensely following for many years, the Golden State Killer, East Area Rapist,
and our friend slash Paige original Night Stalker. She had, didn't she do an episode about it?
She may have as well. She's also a big true crime fanatic. And so I first heard about this, I think probably from last podcast on the left, and then I went in depth. I did a whole bunch of research. I listened to a bunch of different podcasts, read a bunch of books on it. It's a really interesting story because it doesn't get reported enough. You hear about Charles Manson. Charles Manson didn't do shit compared to this guy.
Well, I'd like to think that it's because the guy was never caught. We can talk about Richard Ramirez all we want, the Night Stalker, because they caught him. They caught Manson. They caught the BTK killer. And by the way, before they caught the BTK killer, which was years and years after his crimes, I had never heard of him, but then when they caught him, they're like, oh, we'd like to do a lot of stories about him.
Counterpoint, Zodiac killer.
Yeah, I was going to say, Zodiac, who is way less interesting. The Zodiac is way less interesting than the Golden State Killer for a few reasons. I will give a brief background in case anybody doesn't know about it, even though it's been all over the news recently. This started back in the 70s, back in 76.
78.
76. Actually, this started back in 76. It started back in 76 with a series of rapes in the Sacramento area. And at first, it was just women either alone or home alone with young kids. And this guy would break in, brutally rape them. It was really violent, and then leave.
And he would also torment them. It wouldn't be like the rape would happen and then he'd flee. He would keep them bound and like taunt them and like go through their fridge and drink their beer and then ransack their items. And then taunt them some more, rape them some more.
Yeah.
And then he'd hide and wait for them to like be like, all right, he's gone. Then jump out of the darkness like, I'm still here.
Yeah.
That was a lot of mental torture there.
And then after a while, they actually had some town hall meetings because these rapes were getting out of hand. And there was a
guy. These rapes are getting out of hand, guys. Come on.
Keep
Come
the raping
on.
To an acceptable level.
Yeah, we need less than 12 rapes and that's fine. Boys will be boys.
Here's how crazy it is. A guy stands up at one of these meetings, just a regular guy from the town. He's like, it's because these men are not standing up and protecting their women. If you were out there, you men would stop this guy, and you're not. And that's why your wives are being attacked. Well, the rapist then targets this guy's family, breaks in, ties him up, and rapes his wife in front of him. He then, from then on, only starts hitting couples with completely capable men sitting next to him, ties them up, and rapes their wives right next to him.
Back up for 1 second. That was a huge fucking terrifying component of the case.
Yeah.
He was at the town hall meeting.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what that meant.
Yeah.
So people looking back like, holy shit, the guy was there.
Yeah. And
there's no sign-in book. I mean, anyone could have been there.
There was no like security cameras. No,
it was 76, Bobby.
Just knowing that he was there, holy shit.
And then what ended up happening is he was going down the street and this couple was out. I think they were like walking their dog. And their dog went off into the bushes because it turns out he was there stalking somebody else. They see him and he is very diligent. He has a ski mask on every time he's raping these women. He makes sure they can't see him. He shines a light in their eyes. These people see his face, and they realize what's going on, and they run. He chases them down and murders them in the middle of the street, and these two people are his first two kills. He goes on to kill at least 10 more people with a grand total of 12, more than 50 rapes, spreads from Northern California to Southern California. He starts hitting Santa Barbara, Ventura County, and Irvine. And all of those places, we don't even connect the dots because we don't realize this person who raped all these people in Sacramento is now murdering and raping people in Southern California until 2003 when the DNA comes back and matches these two. He goes from 76 to 81, killing and raping like a crazed person in just those 5 years, then completely stops. Completely stops, and then pops up again in 86, 5 years later, with one rape and murder, then again completely stops.
How they know it was him if it was 5 years later, they didn't have DNA at the time.
We have DNA now, so we can go back and look and say this was the same
person. So they didn't know in 86
Not necessarily. Okay. But they also kind of had a pretty good idea because he has a very signature MO. He ties a specific type of diamond knot with shoelaces he brings to the scene. So they kind of knew it was him.
Got it.
Regardless, he completely stops killing and murdering, as far as we know, according to his MO in 1986. But continues to call his previous victims and taunt them on the phone up to the 2000s.
Yeah.
That is fucking insane.
It's crazy. And I was...
And there was one that was actually very scary as well, because a waitress who was a previous victim years before at Denny's, she got a call at work saying, like, remember the time we played or something?
Yeah.
And they deduced the only way that he would have known that, she had served her attacker.
Right.
He had recognized her and like, oh, I know who I'm calling later.
Yeah.
That's frightening.
It was terrifying.
You gave him pancakes.
We didn't know who he was, where he was. To me, some of the most interesting parts of it is, if you know serial killer psychology, the idea that you just stop is unheard of.
Oh,
That just doesn't happen. Like, you either go to jail, you die, or something.
Or you keep going.
Yeah, or you keep going. And the fact that he stopped for 5 years and then presumably stopped indefinitely after 86.
And an expert FBI profiler, who, by the way, nailed all the other components of him, said the only way this guy will stop is by death or jail.
Yeah.
And he, that was the one thing that he was wrong about.
And anyway, this week they announced that they caught him, or at least seemingly they caught him. They have not yet announced how they found him, which will be very, very interesting.
They did.
Oh, did they?
What happened was, and this is very interesting, is, there's all these genealogy websites, fucking Ancestry.com, Aaron's on it. Well, his family, he didn't go on it.
Somebody else did.
But his family did, and the DNA that they submitted matched the DNA from all these crime scenes, and so they were able to do it that way.
Yeah,
so it was a genealogy website.
Gotcha.
So Ancestry.com's just been a long con to catch this guy.
Yeah. Dude, totally worth it. I've been waiting for this to happen for a long time. Fuck the Zodiac, fuck all those other unsolved mysteries. This was the one that I was so excited to see. I'm so happy that it happened within my lifetime. I thought maybe it never would, or he'd be already dead when we caught him, which is not at all. It's Jimmy Savile. It's not satisfying, you know?
Yeah. Jimmy Savile, that's the radio...
That's the BBC.
The BBC guy that raped a bunch of kids.
Yeah,
and
yeah. But they caught him a year after he died.
Yeah, he was celebrated well through his death. That doesn't count.
So I like that they caught this guy. Turns out he was a cop in the area in the 70s. He got kicked off the force by getting caught shoplifting a hammer and dog repellent. By the way, about a month before, the East Area rapist ended up stabbing a dog to death in a woman's backyard because he was stalking her and the dog would have stopped him.
Yeah.
So clearly he was stealing that stuff as part of his attempts to attack people.
Yeah.
Super crazy. What's really interesting is Patton Oswalt's wife, who is a true crime fanatic, had been writing a book about this when she died. And she had compiled a bunch of interesting evidence together, and then she passed away. They then started a really well-funded task force in 2016 that ended up catching him. That's how they caught him. They had, like, essentially unlimited funds. And a lot of that, even though they seemed to deny it in the press
conference...
They've
gone out of their way to say this had nothing to do with her book.
Had nothing to do with the book, except...
Bullshit!
Yeah, except... All the publicity she brought, I mean, unfortunately, because of her death, when she died, there was a huge amount of publicity on her, on the Golden State Killer, on the book she was writing, on Patton, on all that stuff. And because of that, I don't know, maybe it was just a freak coincidence that they happened to get this crazy huge task force right after she died and all the publicity.
I've always said that shit doesn't happen unless a big deal is made of it. You know what I mean? And in the media, I mean. If there's no pressure being put on police... it's been my experience. They go, well, can't do anything about it.
I love that they caught him, and the detective that was there when they ended up apprehending him was like, we surprised him right outside his house because we had some knowledge that he might try and like fight his way out or kill himself. And we surprised him right outside of his house. And as we did, you could see in his head, like, he was looking for the plan that he had for this particular moment. But we nabbed him too quickly. And I love it because, you know, in his head, he's like, they'll never take me alive. If they do come, I'm grabbing the 12 gauge. I'm blowing my head off before they get me. And right, I love right. that they fucking got him. Yeah.
And I love that so his satisfying. first words was, I have a roast in the oven.
Was like, it?
Yes.
I had heard that.
I have a roast in the oven. Like,
well then, rape on, old man. Rape on.
We are going to wait. Okay, what, an hour and 45 left on that? That's fine. All right, okay, you can finish that, but then we'll be outside, sir.
Dude.
You finish that fucking roast. You come right out.
Dude, a couple interesting things, which you're probably about to touch on. One is they think he stopped because he had a kid.
In 81, yes.
Which is fucking weird.
That's kind of common. That happened, I think Green River was like that, too. There's a few other killers that stop.
Listen, when they have you can't raise a kid while you're committing crimes, yeah, you're a bad parent.
Multitask, come on. That's, multitask. It's a great excuse, by the way. You're pushing a baby in a stroller, you could be walking someplace at 2 a.m. Nobody's going to look twice.
Yeah, thing, that's a good...
I saw, I think it was Lori Kilmartin tweeted about this. They had said that now there's speculation that the thing that drove him to commit these crimes is he was spurned by some woman he had been either in love with or dating or something like that.
Because he kept whispering the name Bonnie into the women's ears, and they thought for a while that that was a countermeasure, like he was doing that to throw them off, because he did do things to throw the police off. But it turns out at one point he was engaged to a woman named Bonnie.
Right, and so now some of the news stories are running are like, oh, it turns out he's doing this because of that. And so now people are like, you're going to blame this on a woman. You're going to say that.
Yeah, who's this Bonnie? Thanks a lot, Bonnie.
Way to go, Bonnie. You really fucked this one up.
50 rapes on your hands.
Yeah, you might as well have done it yourself, Bonnie. Yeah. Couldn't just take one for the team, huh?
God. Edit that out. Anyways, so no, it's fantastic that that he was caught. It's fantastic. And also, you're made of stone if you didn't get a little choked up when you saw Patton Oswalt's tweet to his deceased wife, I think you got him.
Yeah, I think you got him, Michelle. I think it's amazing that they caught him. I can't wait to hear all the details, what happened in 86 that made him snap again, how he was able to cover it up. Is it maybe he didn't cover up? Maybe he's been killing in a completely different MO this entire time.
Maybe in 86, his kid spilled paint in the garage. Yeah. And he was like, God damn it.
Maybe, like, if he spills all the beans, they'll let him finish that roast. Yeah. I mean, that'll be the cards they're holding.
You ever, exactly. You know, it'd be great as if he gives the scorned parent speech, you know, like the ones you've seen on TV or movies or something, where the kid's 10 years old and the parent, like, gets so frustrated they finally lose it and they yell at him. They're like, you don't understand. I could have been a pro football player, but I had to drop out to raise you. And he's like, you don't understand. I was going to be the best serial killer on earth, and then you got born and ruined everything.
Speaking of justice,
yes.
I just have to bring up that Bill Cosby was found guilty.
Oh, yeah, that too, man. Three counts, each one carrying 10 years. So he's facing possibly 30 years.
They also said it could be served concurrently, which now, would give him just 10 years.
He's 80. That's a life sentence either way you slice it.
I wasn't paying attention to this. I didn't see it. Did they get him for like a group of women, or was
no,
it one
just
specific
one,
crime?
Just one, because the majority of those, the statute of limitations had expired. But there was one left in 2004 that was just under the wire, and because of her, she was able to skate through. And yeah, best part about it is their defense was like, she's just a slut. Turns out she's a lesbian. So that didn't work.
Oh, and did you hear about the in court comment, which was fucking hilarious?
I did not.
So the judge,
I'd like to talk to you.
He gave him like $1 million bond because the judge, I think it was the judge who had said that he is a flight risk. He has an airplane he can leave. And I guess Bill Cosby said in court to the judge, I don't own a plane, asshole. Which is fucking hilarious to me. And a lot of people have pointed out the hilarity, too, in that, like, he's always been like, be clean, don't curse, don't say.
Yeah.
And then he fucking just
does
that.
His own fucking court case.
It was double ironic, because when he did it, his pants were sagging. It was just... Yeah.
I understand the reference. I appreciate the reference. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and you brought up a point, Ryan. You're like, you hope that... I was actually kind of surprised that they got this trial done so quickly, because I thought this was going to drag on forever. But now you brought up a point that you hope the sentencing doesn't drag.
Yeah, he's 80 years old. He could die at any fucking minute. Yeah. I do not want... A lot of people are like, well, his legacy's done. He was caught. I'm like, no, I need him to see the inside of a cell for one day.
Right.
I don't... I just need it to be one day. He has spent the last, like, 60 years in comfort, you know, and the last 40 in luxury.
Yeah.
I need him to be pulled from that.
I don't know. Do you think, let's say he goes to jail, don't you think he becomes like a hero in jail?
A legend?
Like, don't you think he's the gang leader in jail? Like, if you're Bill Cosby, you've had generations of young men grow up.
I want
up
him
you.
Dead tonight.
Yeah. I mean,
put
I
some money on my books, Daddy.
It doesn't feel satisfying to think about it that way. But if you think about, remember what Big Frog was telling us about War Machine, about how like, yeah, he'll be a stud in jail. Like everybody will like he's not taking shit in jail. He's gonna be.
We should follow up on that. He's in jail right now, isn't he?
Oh yeah,
War Machine. Yeah.
I wonder how that's like if he's.
Oh,
in trouble,
hey, right into the degenerates. If you know anyone at the Nevada State Correctional Facility that might be able to get a little insight on that, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to follow up on that. Now, speaking of also justice,
uh-huh.
Bobby, I'm seeing on my bull slip here, cell phone vigilante.
Guys.
That's what it says here.
Guys, I thought I was going to have
before
to maybe...
Before you go on.
Okay.
Play the fucking theme song.
Guys, I thought I was going to have a break of vigilante justice, maybe a vigilante-free summer. I thought I was going to, you know, I'm getting old in my vigilante years. And
you had a kid, the vigilantism stops when you start
slowed
a family.
Down. It hey, slowed down. I was going to take a five-year break.
Hey, you are the Fedor of vigilante justice. You only fight when it makes sense now, man.
I thought you were saying he's past his prime.
Very much so. Okay. I'm also saying that. He's a tenuous grasp on the English language.
And a badass sweater.
I was thinking to myself that I would kind of ease up on the vigilante stuff, but then something happened. So
the Golden State Rapers blew again.
Okay, so I was doing the thing where I was trying to buy a cell phone online. Found somebody a decent deal, called them up, made
sure.
Like
Craigslist or something.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Messaged them back and forth, made sure everything was good with it. Cell phone's ready to go. It's not locked. Blah blah blah. Yeah. Okay. Great. Where do you want to meet? Let's meet at one of the actual Sprint stores. Cool. I let him pick the store, where he wants to go, what time, the whole nine yards. Great. I show up there, get there early, talk to the Sprint people to make sure everything's set up. They got my account ready. He comes in. All right, let's transfer it over. And he goes, all right, hold on. I got to call up and unlock this. And I was like, all right. I mean, normally you do your homework before you come to school. But, you know, all right, fine, yeah. Fair enough. No joke. Sits there for a half hour on the phone. And every once in a while just stops to like go, hey, man, you're going to love this phone. It's just great. Like, it's awesome. And I was like, yeah, it seems like it's awesome.
Anytime anyone's ever tried to sell me on something, I've been fucked. So yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
just,
continue.
I'm getting more and more frustrated with this guy. I'm like, dude, why would you wait till we planned this 2 days ago? You could have done this on the car ride here. Like, what are you doing? Finally, at the end
I love
of,
that Bobby thinks everybody operates with the same level of responsibility that he does.
Yeah.
General assumption of competency. I know. It's a bad idea. But finally, after the half hour, he hangs up and he goes, okay, so I think we're good. I need a SIM card for it, though. And I was like, oh, you didn't bring the SIM card? He's like, no, didn't do that. And I was like, okay. And we talked to the Sprint people. They're like, no, we don't have that here. You have to go to a different Sprint store. It's about a half hour away. And he goes, all right, well, let's go. And I was like, you know what, bud? I'm sorry, this is taking quite a long time. It's already taken a half hour, minimum another hour by the time we drive to the next place and get all this handled. If you want us to keep doing it, fine. I got a kid at home with a babysitter. So if you want to keep doing it, fine. I'm going to knock $80 off the price of the phone. So if you want to go with that, that's cool. Otherwise, whatever. And he just looked enraged.
Huh?
Just
whoa,
incensed.
Really?
And he was like, $80 for a 10-minute drive? And I was like, well, hey... It's been a half hour.
She just said 30,
yeah.
And on top of this 30.
Yeah, and then we're going to have to go do that.
And
so,
it's round trip, so hour
goes,
and a half,
and
10
he just,
minutes,
he
man.
He looks incensed. It was as if I just looked at him and went, about your phone, and shat in his face. Like, there was, he was so, like, perplexed and enraged by this. And
about your phone, your wife's a whore.
Yeah. And he goes, and he's like, well, $80? 80? That's just too much. And I was like, all right, cool. It sounds like it's not going to work for
90,
you.
90. You hesitated.
And I was like, it sounds like it's not going to work for you. That's cool. And
Bob
was
like, I got here early. I have snipers set up on the perimeter.
I'll see
you'll accept this deal.
I have a roast in the oven.
I was like, I'll see you later. And I start walking away. He goes like, all right, fine. And I turn around. He's like, okay, cool. And as I'm getting out, he goes, how about 40? And I was like, no.
You
that's
said
not
fine.
How that works.
Yeah, you can't say 80. Deal fine.
You said 80. And I was like, listen, dude, if you want to do this right now, here's the cash. We'll do it this way. Otherwise, you know, this has taken too long. This wasn't what you had pitched this as. You did not have this phone ready to go.
The guy looks at Bobby. He's like, king of pranks?
I would have respected the shit out of that.
You get this for free.
Yeah. He pulls it off. He's got a Ryan Shores t-shirt underneath. I'm the king of pranks.
Ooh, I'm the
He's like, yeah, I'll go 40 less. And I was like, no, buddy, it's 80. That's it. It's that or nothing. He goes, yeah, well, go fuck yourself. And walks away. And I was like, all right, then.
All right, then. I'm going to destroy your car while you're sleeping tonight. I have my own little ways.
So he had sent me messages on the app. And these messages came after that, which is, you're so stupid. Then a little bit of break. Inconvenience factor on a 10-minute ride. I bet your girlfriend loves you. 10-minute break. Fucking pussy.
Wow.
Can we call him right now?
Then, blocks me on the app. Ah. Nothing like fucking pussy and then saying, I'm out. No one can say anything bad to me.
Yeah, yeah. You're afraid of the retort is what that is.
So, unfortunately, I've had to dust off my vigilante jersey and I'm back in the game.
Okay, all right. Absolutely.
All right, let's hear it.
So, I'm not going to reveal right now what I am going to do to this gentleman, but let's just say I have set up a series of vigilante moves, which I will keep you guys updated on as they transpire. I may even tape a few of them so you can see it, because if he got so angry about an $80 deduction in that price of that phone,
his girlfriend must love him.
I cannot tell you how angry he's going to get for what's about to happen to him.
So, okay, so this is a stay tuned here.
Oh,
all
yes,
right.
Absolutely. Okay. So I want to let everyone know, I guess 2018, summer of justice.
I love it.
All right, let's call it a week. Stay tuned for Bobby's Vigilante Justice. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying, see you next week, cruising with the twos. No smoking. Hey, mercy. That reminds me, Jack. You ever seen a terrier dog? They're fun when they gotta be fun. They're fierce when they gotta be fierce. But oh, when that door's open, they just got to run away. Skip a dip a dip a da do now.
Yeah, time passing by. Oh, that time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.